Lord, we thank you for the living word made known to us in Christ. Would you please send the Holy Spirit now to open our minds to hear and receive this word? In the name of Jesus, amen. We all love birth stories, right? We all love a baby story. I'm sure you know the details of when you came into the world. You know the day for sure, but you also probably know the time of the day of the week. You probably know how much you weighed and how long you stayed in the hospital, or maybe you were one of those people who were born at home. You know these things because that's you and how you came into the world. That's important information. You know your given names, what your parents called you, and why you were named that, and who you were named after, and maybe you know what your name means. All this is meaningful, isn't it? Because this is our identity. This is who we are. It gives us our personal history and where we belong. We have two names here in the passage today, and we'll get to those in just a second. This is a time of year when we focus on the birth of Christ, and we're almost there. We've been coming through the Advent season. We're now at Advent 4, and we see what Matthew does here with the passage. He puts the birth of Jesus almost at the beginning of his gospel, right after the genealogy. Matthew in the genealogy first shows us who Jesus is. What family was he born into? Just towards the end of the genealogy in Matthew 1:17, he says that there were 14 generations from the exile to the Messiah. In other words, the exile was coming to an end. The Messiah was about to be born and deliver his people. What fantastic news for the people of Israel. The deliverance from exile came with a twist. It came with this surprising delivery of a baby. And the escape from exile didn't mean what the people thought it meant. They thought it meant escape from foreign armies and foreign control and from Caesar of Rome. Instead, it meant escape from a different kind of exile, the kind of exile that lives deep in the human heart. And the exile was announced to the world with two names, given by God and revealed through his angel. Well, according to biblical scholars, the name Jesus was pretty common in those days, so the name itself wasn't unique. It would have been used in its Hebrew version, which was Joshua, or the Aramaic version, which was spoken as well, Yeshua. If you know a little bit about the Old Testament, you probably know why that name was important, because Joshua was the one who led the people into the Promised Land, took them through after Moses, and he took the land from the Canaanites. So Joshua was a popular name. It would be like a popular name today. Or you meet people who were born during the Second World War, a guy, like a man, and he has a middle name, Winston. You know where that comes from. The name Yeshua or Joshua was a popular big name. It means a lot. Now imagine you're Mary and Joseph. You're waiting for the babe to be born. You know the baby's special because of what the angel has said. But then the angel says, here's the name. Here's the name. I'm giving you the name. So, Joseph, don't call the baby after your father. Or if you really want to be a good son-in-law, after your father-in-law, name him what I'm telling you. We have two names here in Matthew 1. Two names that tell us about the Savior. Two incredible names we need to know. There's the first name. This name tells us what the Savior actually does. What does the Savior do? Listen to the angel. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves, or the Lord saves. That's what it means. Yeshua was going to be the new Joshua, the new one who was going to lead his people and govern Israel. And to the Jews, that meant a king like David. It meant a renewal for the nation. It meant restoring Israel to its former glory. The king would come in, would be obedient to God's law, would kick out the foreign invaders, would cleanse the land, and there'd be glory again like it used to be. And that's what we see in the Old Testament as you read it. When the king of Israel is faithful to God's law, God's word, the nation prospers. When the king's disobedient, he turns away, then the people turn away, and if it goes on long enough, the people go into exile. Notice in verse 21 here in Matthew 1, that the angel specifically said that the name Jesus was given because he will save his people. But the angel goes on to say, he'll save his people from their sins. That's a much deeper and wider meaning than anyone expected. No one saw this coming. Not what they expected. They would have expected that the new king would simply be stronger, would kick out the foreigners and take the land back for the Jewish people. The name Jesus is an important glimpse into what the Messiah actually does. He does save, but he saves at the most important level, the level of the heart. Instead of being saved from the Roman army and the Canaanite people, the people would be saved from the power of sin, which is much deeper and much more powerful. Think of Jesus' encounter in the Gospels. Think of Mark chapter 2, when he met the paralyzed man. The man's friends brought him in, set him down in front of Jesus, and everyone can see, well, he's paralyzed. His biggest problem is his legs. So Jesus needs to heal his legs. The passage says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Bit of a twist. That lines up with the angel's words in Matthew 1, that Jesus would save his people from their sins. This is the consistent picture of what the Messiah came to do. His name says he saves. Saves from what? From our sins. And that's the tricky part for us to accept. That is the tricky part, because it says, I'm sinful, and it says, I need the Savior. That's always the hard part for us. It's always the hard part because we naturally tend towards, if we think there's something wrong with us, we want to fix it. And we try to fix it ourselves. The gospel says there's no way out of this mess, only through Christ. That's the only way out. There's nothing I can do to save myself from this kind of bondage. I can be self-aware. I can work on self-improvement. But it simply doesn't touch this problem. Only Christ can do that. Only that name Jesus shows me who I need. I need that name, which means the Lord saves. So we call on this name. We treasure the name because it tells us what he does for us. Anglican Bishop J.C. Ryle in the 19th century said this, "Happy is that person who trusts not merely in vague notions of God's mercy and goodness, but trusts in Jesus. God saves." The name tells us what the Savior does. Secondly, the name tells us who the Savior is. Listen to Matthew 1, 22 and following. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. There's the second name, Emmanuel. Now we get a clearer picture that the Messiah will literally be God with us, living among us. And we're into the territory of Jesus, both God and man, fully God, fully human. We just heard the classic telling of that in John chapter 1. Listen again to John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Among us, in the very fabric of human living. The very fabric. In everything that means, and we know everything that it means to be human, Jesus is living in this with us. Without sin, but living fully in this. This is who he is. He's the living Word. God with us, as John says, full of grace and truth. Words can't capture this. We try, but this is mystery. This is awesome power. The name Emmanuel is a name we easily say, or we sing the classic hymn, "O Come Emmanuel," and it kind of trips off the tongue. But the name communicates the identity of God's Son. This is God with us. With us. Again, we go back to Mark 2 and the healing of the paralyzed man. There were teachers of the law there, Jewish teachers of the law and religious leaders. They picked up on this Emmanuel business very well. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming when he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." They said, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Then they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Once again, they were right on the money. Only God can forgive sins. This fellow, as they called him, this was actually God near them, veiled. His power, his glory was veiled. But claiming his identity as God when he forgave the man's sins, whenever he did that in the Gospels, he's claiming authority as God. He revealed this. And he gives glimpses of it today. Whenever he heals, and whenever we hear his voice in God's word with authority, we get a little glimpse of God with us. Today, when God chooses to heal the sick, that's a sign of the power of God breaking in. And that's what we look forward to when he returns again, when it's revealed in its fullness. The amazing thing we try to get our heads around in Advent and at Christmas is that Jesus Christ is God himself in the flesh. He's with us, not in the flesh right now. Right now, he's at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back in power and glory, but he is with us now, right now, in the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking to us through the Word of God. He is still Emmanuel. He's still God with us. And Advent is the time when we get our hearts ready, ready to receive him again as Lord and Savior, the King who's coming back one day. For now, though, we feed on him in our hearts. As we say in our communion service, we feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. Thanks be to God for Jesus Emmanuel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for this good news that's been revealed, that you didn't reveal yourself in a mysterious way, an unknown way that we could never grasp, but you revealed yourself in human history. You revealed yourself in these two names, Jesus, the Lord saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we thank you for this good news. Lord, I pray for those of us here who haven't yet fully realized what that means, that God is with us and Jesus does save. Would you please open our eyes to see this good news and to believe it? All to the glory of your name. Amen.